Welcome to the Round 5 Supercoach Coach Podcast. My name's Marcus, and this week I'm joined by FB Donkey.
G'day, Marcus. Good to be here, mate. Time to talk some Supercoach.
Just two of us this week, mate. We'll get into a heap of questions that was posted on social media this week on @SupercoachCoach on Twitter and on Facebook.com/SupercoachCoach. Thanks to all of you for another huge response. Mark, let's start off as we do every week. How did we score this weekend? I might as well start off because...
You suck.
Whatever. Well, we knew. I said last week, you're still playing with a premium up on me this week. So, 22.75, and when you reveal your score, I think that's pretty respectable. One premium down. Brody Smith bloody killed with 45, and he has done nothing for me since coming into my side.
Turns out it was a good call not to start him after all.
Luke Hodge, 97. Fantastic.
Oh, wow.
Elbowed someone, and tribunal decision came out tonight. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but he's facing some time out, basically. That's
3 weeks.
Yep. So both defensive trade-ins, who are supposed to be premiums, so far turned out awful. And then we got James Kelly.
Jesus.
Top it all off. Busts his nut.
Like, for real.
Actually, what? So insane, but he's going to be out for a while.
He reckons about a month, and yeah, at least a month.
So I'll probably have to trade somebody out. I mean, I can't hold Hodge and Kelly out for such a long period of time. That's too much risk. There's Nathan Brown on for weeks, and that means Mark coming on every single week with just swagger, and we can't have that. So,
and then you'll be like using some weird logic where you have like three less premiums than me. Not okay with that.
Clancy Pierce though, Mark, 129. So
did you actually get him on the ground this week?
Yeah, I did, mate. I did. Oh yeah, who's on the gravy train?
Yeah, I mean, he's always had the potential. It was just the role that concerned me. And yeah, if he can play it with a bit more freedom, he seems really fit, and Ross Lyon seems to really like him.
And I took the risk, and it paid off. Hell yeah.
It's taken you a while to get there, but you got there in the end.
Yes, thanks. I needed that, Mark. I needed that. It's been a rough week otherwise. Actually, for my team, rough, but in terms of leagues, Mark, we're killing it. We'll get to that in a little bit, but that's enough for my team. Mark, how did you actually go this week?
22.84, which, despite all your excuses, was still more than you. jumped up to 5,100 in the rank, which, after a bit of a slow start, that seems pretty good. Like, it seems like a good position to make a run at the top 500 from there. So, we'll see what happens over the next few weeks. Couple of issues going into this week with Lewis whacking Goldstein over the head, which cost me some points from Goldstein, I guess, and Bennell also getting out on the drink, and he's going to miss this week. So I know that you've got Hodgie out as well, but yeah, there's a few tricky things to face this week, and I've also got Kelly, who amazingly was absolutely dominating that game before busting a nut, as you said. Mm-hmm. Managed to get Pendle's vice-captain, which was awesome. Got Oxley on the ground. I think that was obviously a huge difference this week for 148. Last minute, brought Cracker in, put him on the ground over Alice Yeoman. Obviously a mistake, cost me 50 points. But other than that, seemed to get most of the calls right this week. And it seemed like a pretty stressful weekend following the scores, but still pretty good in the end, I guess.
Top it all off, Mark. When we were released from lockout, and I got to say, Mark, this year has been pretty quick. Pretty impressed with that. Have you found that?
Yeah, it's way quicker, like 8:30 or something, which is so much better on a Sunday night.
So well done, Virtual Sports. Really appreciating that. And we got the number one league after
number
round
one.
Five. And we don't want to get too carried away, Mark, but, you know, number one league. Let's get a little bit carried away. That's pretty good. And we've also got seven leagues, so six other leagues in the top 20.
7 out of 20. That seems like domination at this stage.
And we've got 20 leagues all up across our veterans and our public leagues
and our listeners.
Yep, guys, 20, that's awesome, in the top 1% of leagues. So that's top 290 leagues. We've got 20 of them. That's amazing.
It's not like we have an insane amount of leagues that are outside that either, so it seems like people listening to our show are taking things pretty seriously and doing pretty well.
So well done, community. You guys must be flying pretty high. I noticed some disappointed listeners out there on social media, but you know, hopefully you rebound, because as a collective, we seem to be doing all right. So fingers crossed that, you know, overall, your rookies are still making cash, and overall, we've made the right decisions, hopefully. That's it for the score review.
Yeah, just stoked about the leagues. Congrats to all the listeners that are part of those leagues, and it's a community, and everyone's helped us get there, so let's hope we can keep up that sort of level for a little while. I know it's still very early in the season, but keen to get into the show, mate, because as you said, there's a few outs this week and a few players that are going to need dealing with. And if people followed our advice last week, they've probably got pretty healthy bank balances with Cracker and Tarrant in their team.
So we'll start off, as we do each week, once we hit the topics, with the injury and suspension issues, because that probably dictates your trades for anyone who has these guys. Mark, like you said, you got hit by Lewis, Kelly, Bennell. I've got Kelly and Hodge. So we'll get straight on to them. Troy Rosiah's asking, is it wrong that I've been thinking about James Kelly's nether regions for the last 3 days?
No, not at all, mate. I'm sure Kelly would appreciate your thoughts and prayers about that. Yeah, pretty horrific injury, and even he was had a good sense of humor about it and was willing to laugh about it pretty quickly after it happened. But yeah, it looks like we're going to have to trade there. I mean, you can't carry a player for a month, and it's not as if he's been completely dominating anyway. So it looks like we'll be looking at trade options for James Kelly this week.
And unfortunately, you know, dropped 50k, and would have been good to get this game into his price movements before he unfortunately got injured. But 95 at three quarter time, like you said before, he was actually killing it. In the back line, Mark, who do you like down there?
I think that we've got 5 weeks of knowledge now, and it seems like the key position defenders are probably going to be the more reliable, better picks this year. So I think that Gibson, Rance, Tom McDonald, and Harry Taylor are all sort of around the 500,000 mark and all should be pretty close to the top of people's lists. Out of the rebounding defenders, probably Birchall interests me a little bit, and maybe pick up Smith on the cheap a little bit later on. But I think I'll probably be looking at one or even maybe two of those keys this week, maybe sort of like a Tom McDonald Rance combination.
For people who don't have Heath Shaw, Mark, a more traditional pick, if you were still not sold on the idea that key position defenders are going to do well over the course of the season, 98.6 he's averaging. You have him in your team. He's actually done well, really well so far. 122 on the weekend to offset a 69, a slightly quieter game in the round before. But, I mean, even that's been his quietest game for the season. So, looks in good nick.
Yeah, absolutely. And at 500,000, that seems like a good price to pay for Heath Shaw. I would never want to pay 550,000, 600,000 for him, but 500,000, which is what I paid at the start, it seems like a pretty reliable sort of price. And even if he has a few down weeks, it's not going to be too bad from 500,000. I guess the biggest concern with Shaw is that I don't think he's played more than 18 games a season for quite a long time. So probably belt someone or something pretty soon.
Good to bring up the injury concern. I think that's enough discussion on the back line. We have covered it over the week, so hopefully, you know, you can make your mind up there.
Can I just get your opinion on Rance, McDonald, Gibson, or Taylor? If you had to pick two, which one would you be leaning towards?
Probably Rance and McDonald, just because we've seen more exposed form from Gibson and Taylor, and their scores aren't exactly inspiring, whereas Rance and McDonald, you can argue, are on an upward trend, and their scores, they're the second and third highest averaging at the moment. So I think those two, and the price difference actually really isn't that much. McDonald's at 475, Rance at 510, but Gibson's at 495 and Taylor's at 485, so both pretty expensive as well. Yeah, I think I just go ahead and go with the guys who are scoring a little bit better. How about you, Mark?
Rance and McDonald probably just ahead, but I think that there's a good chance I'll take either Birchall or Gibson instead of one of them. I think there's some talk that Frawley will be back sort of in the next 2 weeks, and Lake's probably two or three away. So the reasons why people picked Gibson at the start and he dominated so early, they'll still be there in a couple of weeks. If they can avoid the injuries, Gibson looks pretty strong.
We'll move on to the next injury concern now. Luke Hodge, Mark. So he's out for 3 weeks. Not an injury concern. So he will come back fresh. I'm thinking hold, actually.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to hold him for more than 3 weeks. But I guess in the context of the whole season, there's probably going to be an injury later on in the season, those 3 weeks that you would have to carry. So with the rookies performing, maybe you can get away with it.
Here's how you have to look at it, I think, is most of us have cash in bank because we doubled down last week. If you've got cash in bank, and I mean, if I swap Kelly and Hodge, I don't spend any of that money. I'm forfeiting points anyway. So I think you might as well get the trade you want sorted. And then, I mean, that way you don't waste the trade as well on a premium. You just wait out the injury. So I've got McIntosh, who's the guy who will come on field for him. So I don't think that's too awful.
People have got sort of the McIntosh on the field anyway.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, with Hodge out, I might be able to loophole Brown on anyway. So I think, you know.
I love the fact that we're having this discussion that Brown is a possible loophole option.
Desperate times, Mark. All right, we'll move on to the midfield now. And you'll answer this one, I reckon. Matt Carr's asking, trade or bench Lewis? So fortunate for you, less of a sentencing, only 2 weeks as opposed to Hodge's three. What are you going to do, Mark?
I just don't think that you can trade a player out that's only 2 weeks. And a bit like you said with Hodge, that because it's a suspension, at least he's going to come back fully fit. So I think that you can't really trade a player out if they're only out for 2 weeks. If you start doing that, then you're going to run out of trades very quickly, and you're going to be copying a lot more rookie players on the field later in the year when maybe the rookies that we have in our team aren't so strong because they didn't make their round one team. So it's frustrating, it's annoying, but he's just going to have to sit on the bench for 2 weeks and I'll bring on Vandenberg type player.
Agree with you. All right, on to other questions now, non-injury, non-suspension questions. And the first is from Daniel from Facebook, and he's asking what to do with Griffin and Nune. So just want to cover these guys because I feel like we have talked about these guys a bit, and they do fall into the category of underperforming premiums. I would still be in the category of sticking fat until the buys because dodging a donut buys you extra points in a side swap. The argument could be made that if you want a side swap as early as possible, would garner you the most rounds to net benefit from. Where do you sit on it, Mark?
Well, I find it a little bit tricky to talk about because I was against picking both of these guys in the preseason. It's a bit like, well, I knew that this was going to happen, so I don't want to be too quick to trade them out. I think that the difference between Nunes, like averaging 70, and a premium defender averaging like about 90 isn't that great. Whereas at the moment, the difference between Griffin's average and a premium midfielder that you might be able to pick up is actually quite significant. So if I was going to trade one of the two, it would probably be Griffin. But like you said, you kind of just need to be upgrading in other areas of your team and hope that they pump out a couple of pretty decent scores and can at least get you through to all the buyers.
I think that's the main thing. You just can't be stuffing around, especially when you've got cash in tow. Just use that up and try and get points on field.
I think probably the other issues is the fact that a lot of people out there would have already used five or more trades. And if you have, then you can't just keep correcting in your team. Like, it was the time to correct after 2 or 3 weeks. And if you keep correcting after round five, then you start just going way too deep in your trades.
Good advice there, Mark. We'll move on to the next question from Michael Hall. Start slaughtering some pigs or hold on until they peak further. Most still have more coin to gain, thinking to save the trades and calm the F down. What do you reckon about that, Mark?
Quite interesting, because I think he's absolutely right. You can't be trading a Cripps this week or a Vandenberg or an Alice Yeoman. They've just got too much money to still make. So I think you'd want to hold at least another week on pretty much all your rookies. I know Jesse Hogan might be a good one to get rid of next week. Cripps might be at least nearing his peak next week. Maybe a Dom Sheed's nearing his peak next week. So I think that there might be a couple of options come up to downgrade next week as well. But yeah, I think that you need to at least try and get one more price rise out of him if you can. And I think next week's show we'll probably be talking about a couple of downgrades.
So we did have some listeners asking whether they should go for one big upgrade or get two upgrades quickly and punt on some mid-tier guys. So from our general strategy, I think we would prefer, just because the trade-out targets aren't ripe yet, you might as well just pick up the one bonafide premium this week and then hold on the other guy and hopefully get another nice 30k price rise out of them. But I think we would still recommend trading at least one guy. I mean, if you've got 300k in Kitty, there's no point waiting for 30k. Just get points on field this week.
Yeah, I think that you're probably right there. And there would be some that are at least pretty close to their peak. I mean, it could backfire. You could trade out Hogan this week and then he scores 120 again. But it might not backfire as well, and you might be a lot better off getting those points onto the field this week, like you say. I guess it depends who your targets are. I mean, some of those upgrade targets are actually getting cheaper as the weeks go by. But if one of those trade-in targets has already hit their rock bottom, then yeah, I'd be doing it this week.
All right, on to the next question from Steve Lapone from Facebook, and he's asking about bargain or fallen premiums. He wants to know what our thoughts are on the best options. So if you weren't going for the premium options, Mark, who do you like as bargain or fallen premiums after three price movements now?
I think JPK in the mids is down to about 550. I think that's a pretty good pick. I know some people are talking about Parker at under 500,000, who potentially has a 115, 120 average in him from what people were talking about at the start of the year. What do you think about him?
I liked his value as a forward. I probably would hold off. I think if you're going to punt on a Sydney midfielder, I would probably punt on Josh Kennedy just because he's the one with exposed form that comes up on top generally each year in the Sydney midfield. So odds are he's the likely one to continue that. And I would have thought that if anyone were to snatch that away from him, it'd be Dan Hannabry, not Parker. I just think I wouldn't risk that value personally.
I wonder whether Tom Mitchell, if he can hold his spot, or whether that affects Parker as well, because Parker might have to sort of play a bit more out of the midfield because Mitchell can only really play in the midfield. That could be interesting. What about Jack Zabel, who's gotten pretty cheap after the four from when he got knocked out, went through his price?
Yeah, so he's actually at 389,000, which is, you know, peanuts. He did score 150 in that round two. His low basically is 80 if you take out that concussion score. So you'd really be quite happy with that if you didn't have to deal with that concussion score. The problem is Zeeble's at risk of continuing to do that.
I agree that if it does come off, you've got getting a bit of insurance there because you're getting him so cheap. So you can sort of afford him to maybe have, like, fail, I guess. It is a bit of a risk and it's a bit of a gamble, but, I mean, you're not paying top dollar for him. And so it could work out really, really good because, I mean, someone's got to score the points for North.
And he's got around 13 bye as well. So if he really, you know, flunks out, you can dodge a don't out around the buys as well. So that's another thing to consider in his favor. We put up the break evens every Monday on supercoachcoach.com.au. And just a reminder to everyone this week, we're releasing on a new platform. So go on and check that out. Our forum's brand spanking new. So engage with us and let us know what you think about it. But yeah, on Monday, I released the break evens, Mark, and Sheil was the other one apart from Zeebel that really stood out to me. 52 cycled out of his price movements from round three. His next lowest is 119, Mark. So he has 136, 149, and 146 as his other three scores. He's only priced at 537,000, so that seems like good value, right?
It definitely does. I mean, I'm guessing that sort of dominance is going to potentially bring a bit of attention his way, but as we've discussed a few times, there's a few other players in that Giants midfield that probably deserve some attention too. So he seems to be the one that's getting out at the moment. I'm not sure that he can keep it up for a whole year, but definitely increasing his pay packet because I know he comes out of contract this year.
You know, we've always talked about Sheil being a little bit like a Judd-like player, so he is explosive and he does have big scoring potential, and we've seen that already. Like you said, a bit of a risk, but if you're feeling like a gamble and you like Dylan Sheil, he's basically bottomed out this week. All right, on to the next question from Fabregasto. So we've just talked about bargain and fallen premiums, Mark, and Fabregasto wants to know about Pittard, Ebert, or Taylor Adams as legit upgrade targets, so you're sort of cheaper guys that you can go for and save a little bit of cash.
I'd like to get Dunny's feedback on Pittard and whether he thinks he can keep it up this year. I guess he's always been talked up that he was the future of that sort of role for Port Adelaide. So, and Port Adelaide's draw definitely opens up over the next few weeks. So, look, he could keep it up. He seems like a pretty risky pick and that he could have some down games as well. Ebert's probably the one that interests me out of those three. He's a funny player because I know that last year Dunny talked about the fact that he was playing injured for pretty much all of the year. He plays 22 pretty much every year, so he's super durable. Doesn't seem to be injured this year. Seems to be getting heaps of the ball. I guess the main concern with him would be his dream team to Supercoach conversion rate is just pathetic, and he really, really struggles to sort of get the high enough average as a result of that because of kicking efficiency and things like that. So, yeah, I guess I just wonder whether, as a result, his ceiling's capped at about 110, but I think that he's going to get a lot of ball this year, and out of those three, he's probably the only one that interests me.
Because of the concerns you raised about his DT to Supercoach ratio, he's the only one that probably doesn't interest me as much. Taylor Adams missed one game and he's 420,000, which seems pretty cheap, and Pittard 450,000. Pittard actually tickles my fancy the most. He's had, you know, five pretty great games, and the Port Adelaide draw really opened up. I think Pittard in the back line, we were struggling for options. I do still look for those rebounders, Mark. Hopefully, in the long run, Pittard does okay.
Okay.
On to the back line now. We've got a question from Gary Real. He's asking about Tom McDonald, Mark. So we already talked about him. Time to buy before he sails off into elitehood.
At 475, I think that that's probably a reasonable price to pay for Tom McDonald. I don't expect him to go on an average over 100 for the year and go up to 550,000 plus for the year. So I don't think he's going to sail off into elitehood. There's probably going to be other chances to pick him up. But what, we've had five games so far this year and he's scored above 90 in all of them. He had three preseason games where he scored above 90. So that's eight games of form line. You can't make a decision based on much more than that, really. So look, I know just on the weekend that Dunn took the key position player and Tom McDonald was played a bit freer. Probably won't get that option this week with Tippett and Buddy to contend with. But yeah, his ability to do the intercept marks and stuff, I think that he is a genuine defensive premium this year.
I don't think he'll keep averaging 112, probably a Monty for 95 plus.
The thing that probably concerns me the most is Cale Hooker's season last year, where in the first 10 rounds, Cale Hooker completely dominated, scored 100 pretty much every week, and then for the last 12 rounds didn't score 100 at all. So with Tom McDonald's age, I could sense that that could potentially happen, so that worries me a little bit, but I can only go off what we know already.
On to the midfield now, Mark, and we'll start off with Curtis Seven's question from Twitter. Daniel Rich's break-even is very close to his average this week. Should we upgrade him now or hold? So, Mark, like you said, it's hard to comment, but if you had him, if you actually started with him, he's only gone up 67K. Would you hold on for longer?
I guess it depends what your plan was with Daniel Rich. Was your plan to originally just use him as a stepping stone? And if it was, then maybe it's pretty close to being that time to get rid of him. But if your plan was that you were hoping he was going to become a keeper or be a last upgrade or hold a spot in your team for quite a while, then you may as well just hold for a bit longer and hopefully he pumps out a few more decent scores. I guess the tricky part is that he's a round 11 buy player, so you can't upgrade him around the buys.
I would just hope for a bigger score. I mean, you have the potential of trading Richie out at 500K or waiting for a premium to get a four like Zeebo and then hopefully picking a guy up for real cheap. So,
or a zero like Rockliff.
Yeah, exactly right, Mark. So I think hold out for a little while. I mean, his lowest score is still a 74. That's not awful. I would probably hold on him. We'll move to the next question from Alistair Campbell. Really interested in your thoughts of Scott Thompson averaging 130 in three games. Looks like he's taking points from Sloan and Van Berlo. So we've seen him average like a premium in the past, Mark, and each time it's been pretty surprising. Do you think he can surprise us again?
I guess in the past, when he's had averages like that, maybe he's got a bit more attention and that sort of shut him down a little bit, but I don't think that's going to happen with Sloan and Danger around. I think that the point about taking points from Van Berlo is definitely right. I think Sloan is maybe more of a combination of getting attention and also being injured for the last little bit. So, look, I don't think that Scott Thompson is a realistic option. He is in his 30s. His highest average ever is 110. There's no way he can keep up anywhere near 130.
I'd agree with that, Mark. One of those picks that look really tempting, but kind of like a trapdoor, I reckon. Move on to the next part of the ground now, Mark, into the rucks. And the first question is from David Siddles from Facebook. Is Blitzarves the real deal?
I think last time this question was asked, you went on like a 10-minute rant. So do you want to do that again?
Well, he's continued to keep it up and he's continued to be Geelong saviour. If you started him, he's already gone up 90K, and considering the ruck options are scoring pretty poorly this year, if you can get a premium defender or midfielder or whatever Blitzars is in the rucks, then that's a pretty good deal.
Look, if you started him, great job. He's absolutely surprised me, done awesome. Every chance he'll keep it up, but I don't think he's necessarily a player that you'd bring in.
I think even if you were to, you'd want to see exposed form. Like, he's already at 460. If he ends up being one of the few primo rucks that you want to bring in, you can always wait a couple more weeks. He's not going to go up a huge amount. Whereas if he starts to take a turn because he hasn't shown a full premium season, then you'd be onto a 70 averaging player potentially. But I don't think that's going to happen personally. We'll move on to the next question from Darren Bodie or Boda 747 Ryder, a great option as a ruck swing. Mark, last week I talked about wanting to bring in Ryder this week. Another solid performance after I thought he actually started off a bit quiet, but got Port into the game and got himself into the game. Pretty keen to bring him in, and I think most of our listeners know that. You, on the other hand, would have quite the opposite view of Ryder, and understandably so. So I think let's get the opposite view in play here. What do you think about Ryder?
That's a very loaded question, mate. Not going to unload again on the podcast about Paddy Ryder and how disappointed I am by that situation. But look, I think that he said he'd be happy to play about 70% forward and 30% in the ruck. I don't think that in the past he's really shown that he can completely dominate as a forward, but maybe he can in the Port setup. I think, look, he's probably a pretty reliable player. I've brought him in the past and he's got injured or really let us down. I think that's happened to you as well, Marcus. And well, I think we started him a couple of years ago and he just really didn't work out. So yeah, got a lot of bitterness there from a Supercoach perspective and from a Essendon perspective. So look, I'm just gonna go through the season without him and hopefully that's fine. What would you be hoping or expecting him to average?
I think 90 plus would be a win, considering I think both of us wanted a forward ruck cover for the season, and I don't know if I necessarily want to keep Bell Chambers there. I'm more likely to keep Bell Chambers in tow with Ryder, because if I can get Ryder's scores together with, you know, Belcher's best scores, that'd be an ideal situation.
If you're going to get him, it'd probably be wise to get him soon, just because Port's draw is pretty decent over the next 5 or 6 weeks.
Like I said last week, he's coming into my team this week, guys. So I'm big on the Ryder train, and hopefully a few more are getting on, because I think it's a ticket to success.
I'm really hoping this one backfires, mate.
Thanks.
I don't want to wish bad things for your team, but on this one I do.
I understand why, so that's okay. All right, on to the next question. In the forward line, we're moving on to Matt Farina's question now, and he's asking whether it's time to move on Salem. So you moved on him last week, Mark, and then he posted a score that was affected by a sub out. He was concussed and left the game on 50 points.
Yeah, look, I think it probably is time. I think Salem still maybe has a couple of good scores in him, but with Melbourne hitting a difficult part of their draw, I know that he had a lockdown role on, I think it was Walters on the weekend. So if he has to play that too often, then he might struggle a little bit. So yeah, it seems like he's maxed out of price at the moment. So he would be one that you'd probably be looking to upgrade or downgrade this week or next.
The last question for the week, Mark, is from Sheldon Rochester, and he's asking about the Supercoach Cup.
What's that, man?
And we talked about that in the first show of the season, 2015, 15 weeks ago now, Mark, and it's finally come into play. If you're one of the top 32,000 or so coaches after round 5, you are eligible to join the Supercoach Cup, but you have to be a News Limited subscriber, unfortunately. So
I wonder how many members of the top 32,000 actually are.
Anyone in the top 32,000 who's not a News Limited subscriber, this is not just Supercoach Gold. You need to subscribe for the weekly points. Anyone who's not gets their invite bumped to the next person down who does have a subscription. So,
So we might see 50, 60,000 ranked teams actually invited.
Yeah, depending on how the subscription base is. I don't know how many people are as fanatic as we are. We obviously love the live scores.
It's nice to get the projections on your team as well, like the break evens, and have the buys function as well.
If you are a News Limited subscriber and you do qualify, you will go into a head-to-head competition, a knockout competition for the rest of the season, and the last person left standing will take home a Nissan Navara, which is car worth up to 50k, apparently. Free car, which is pretty cool. So yeah, that'll be exciting. So just to wrap up this week, remember to check out our new forum, supercoachcoach.com.au. it's running brand new forum software, you know, a platform that a few people should be quite comfortable with, and it's mobile responsive. So something we hope that the forum members will appreciate. Mark's been on there this week testing it out a little bit, and everything's good.
Yeah, it's nice, smooth, mate. It's nice to, it's got a few little features that we didn't have on the old forum. So, yeah, it's nice to play around with.
Check that out. And we'll catch you guys again next week for the round 6 show. And all the best this week, Mark. I don't think I'll be able to trade in 2 premiums this week because I got a deal with Kelly. So, you know, more excuses. But hopefully next week I'm coming back swinging with good news.
Yeah, you've got a few weeks to catch up on, mate.
Well, I've got Pierce where you have goods now, so that's a little bit of a little bit of a win.
I won't have goods this week, mate.
Okay, all right. Well, there goes that. All right, we'll catch you guys next week. See ya.
See ya.